The 534th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Head on over to cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com, and use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100 times your entry in NBA, MLB, NHL, college basketball, and more. Sign up today using promo code MMASGPN to get a 100% deposit match. And finally, we're brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month. Start making smarter bets today.
Hi-yo, John Reno's. Welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Episode 534 is going out to the Easter Bunny, obviously. Who else would I dedicate an episode on Easter to? Thank you for ignoring your families and loved ones and spending your Easter with us. I would be one of your hosts, Jeff Chalks Fox. If you have come here for our typical Sunday UFC recap, you're not going to find it. Scheduling issues, but mostly there's just too many other non-UFC events for us to cover this week to ram it all in. We're already getting you a bonus episode this week as well. So Wednesday, we'll probably discuss a little bit of this this weekend's UFC fight night, Blanchfield versus Fierro, and tell you how I destroyed Gumby at it. But he disagrees. But we'll talk about that on Wednesday. But today is going to be all about PFL. Our PFL critic, my co-host Gumby Vreeland, actually likes not just his event. I think he likes his whole season. So let's bring him in now, and maybe he can defend his change in attitude toward the PFL. It's Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
Maybe not the whole season. Like I can't give you
some of the weight classes. I thought.
Yeah. Like these two weight classes are generally fun. Like the women's flyweight division, they did a really good job filling out between, you know, we're going to talk about Talia Santos and we're going to talk about Liz Carmouche and Juliana Velazquez. Like they did a really good job of like snagging an old UFC fighter and a couple of Bellator fighters and then filling it out with, like, you know, a few other, you know, people who are pretty exciting. Dakota, I know people are excited about Dakota Dicheva.
And I think, so, like, you're not. I'm not.
I'm not. It's nothing against her personally. I just think they've like constantly been setting her up with people who she can kick their head off. Yeah. You know, I'm throwing shade at somebody 2.5 minutes in. This is perfect. This is going to be on brand. I think they've just set her up with people in the PFL Europe that was like destined for her to kick their heads off. And for that reason, like, you know, like now she's going to fight Talia Santos in a tournament here, or she's going to fight Liz Carmouche. And that's just like, that's a nightmare. You don't want that to be like the first good fighters you're fighting.
Yeah. Your dogs obviously are on your side as well, or they're against you. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I might need to disappear out of the screen and just go scream at them for 2 seconds.
Whatever. Dogs are always barking. That's one of our things. Dogs barking in the background and dogs barking on the podcast because we hit the dogs. All right, so you're most excited about what? Women's flyweight?
Women's flyweight, and this heavyweight season is pretty legit too. Like, I feel like a lot of times when we're talking about their heavyweight season, we're talking about them, like, I don't know, filling in with a bunch of light heavyweights that like bump up in weight class to fill out the class, or like, you know, I mean, they had Cesar Mutanche in there 1 year. That dude's a middleweight, and they just put him in the heavyweight season just for fun. Like, I feel like they're constantly doing that kind of thing before, and now they have like actually a season full of heavyweights. Like, there's not anybody in that season where I'm like, oh, that guy doesn't belong at heavyweight. Like, he could clearly cut down. The only one who like kind of is moving up, who we're going to talk about, is Linton Vessel. And like, that was sort of by design. He's like 40 years old and like can't cut to 205 anymore, and has been wildly successful since he moved up to heavyweight. So it's like people who belong, and even the alternate fights are kind of fun. Like, Jordan Heiderman's like a big underdog in that fight, and I think he's got a good chance of pulling it off and being like a fill-in late in the season when somebody gets hurt. So yeah, no, the heavyweight stuff's good too.
How often do you hear someone say that? The heavyweight stuff's good too. That does not get said.
Especially when it's a promotion outside of the UFC, and we're talking about having to go 10 to 12 heavyweights deep. And they're like, it's still not shitty somehow.
Yep, it is true. This episode is PFL 1. They're kicking off their season this week. A lot of things to like about this 2024. And of course, tis the season for March Madness too. If you're into that type of thing, which pretty much the whole world is, then SGPN is your place to go for that. Obviously, our flagship show with the bosses, Ryan Real Money Kramer and Sean Stacking the Money Green. They picked every tournament game against the spread since 2012, and they discovered the first half unders a few years ago and made everyone boatloads of money. And don't forget, that's the flagship show, our flagship college basketball show too, the College Basketball Experience with Colby Dant. You may know him as Pick Dundee. Ryan Moneyline Mac and producer Noah B. They continue their unmatched coverage of college basketball betting. You should subscribe if you haven't already. YouTube and whatever your podcaster catcher of choices to the Sports Gambling Podcast and the College Basketball Experience and all the rest of our great podcasts as well, of course, on SGPN. All right, PFL 1, /2024 season is kicking off. Here's one of the great things about it. Thursday. How good is that, right?
Thursday MMA, baby.
Thursday MMA is great. Weekday MMA is what we're all about around these parts. Why cram everything on the same day?
And we got, if for our regional shows this week, if I'm not mistaken, we've got a Thursday, a Friday, and an early Saturday before the UFC starts on Saturday.
It's true. It is very, very true. So we're kicking things off with our Thursday one first. This is April the 4th. 6 p.m. are the prelims. I'm guessing the main card would be 10 because the prelims are pretty long. Main card's only got 4 fights on it. Does that sound right?
I don't know what the televised prelims are. Like, I don't know if they're televising every single one of those fights, but if they are, I would imagine 10 p.m.
It's listed as ESPN Plus for you Americans. It's TSN for us up here in Canada. And they're in San Antonio, Texas. Have they run Texas before?
No, they're usually like DC, Florida, I want to say Utah at one point in time, but I could be wrong about that. Oh yeah, they did New York for like some of the finale ones for a little while. Yeah, so like it's mostly been East Coast with like a sprinkling of out West. Like I know they did a Vegas show one time, but like I don't think we've seen very much in like down in like Texas and whatnot.
Yeah. Oh wait a minute, Texas. This isn't good. Texas.
Oh yeah, that means Commission. We don't want anything to go to decision. But luckily, no. I don't see a lot of. I mean, it's heavyweights. We could get some sloppy heavyweight decisions, but I know the Discord loves a sloppy heavyweight decision, but
they sure do. But hopefully we don't get too many decisions. Women's flyweight though, we got to keep our eye on that because wacky things do happen in Texas. So keep that in mind. I don't know how you can't really handicap that though, can you?
I think the biggest way you can handicap it in what I've seen the most, because people ask me that all the time, like how do you account for like bad commissions? Mm-hmm. Typically the thing that they get the most wrong is they overvalue control. At least in my experience, like they think the person who's on top for 35 seconds in a round does enough. And believe it or not, that will come into play in one of my handicaps later on.
Oh, there you go. Or you could be like our buddy Dredney in the Discord and just play a whole bunch of like split decisions and split decision parlays. That's his jam. He's actually hit some of those, I remember, in the past.
He's hit a lot of split decision stuff.
Yeah, so that might be the play here. If you think it's going to go to a decision on this card, I would not suggest. How about that? Fine, I'll suggest a split decision. Maybe your path if you think the fights are going to be close, especially in a wacky place like Texas. So this is going down the Boeing Center, San Antonio, Texas. 13 fights. Gumby has handpicked 5 that he likes the best on this card. Is it all tournament? It is all tournament fight. No, there's a couple of prelims that are not. Like they're two, alt, I think, exactly.
They're alt fights. Yeah, there's one alternate fight in every single division on this season, is what they said. Cool. And actually, I actually like the women's flyweight alternate fight better than I like at least one of the fighters in the season. Sumiko Amaba should be in the season. I'm just going to go out ahead and say that.
Tell us about her fight quickly.
They should just put Sumiko Amaba in there instead of... She's fighting Caitlin Neal, right? If I'm remembering correctly.
Is she fighting this week?
Yeah, I think so.
No, she's not fighting this. I don't see her on the card for this week.
Oh, no. Did she get pulled? Damn.
That's right. Yes, that fight has been canceled.
Oh, well, so maybe she shouldn't be on this. anyway, on that note, Sumiko Amaba was going to look really good.
Jenna Bishop, I believe. Sorry to interrupt. Chelsea Hackett, Jenna Bishop. I think is that a tournament fight or is that
that's a tournament bout. Jenna Bishop's definitely in there. Because she mean, she was like this close to a Bellator title shot, and they're like, surprise, we don't have a company anymore.
Yeah. All right. Anyone that we're not going to cover today that you want to cover, other than the person whose fight got canceled?
Jenna Bishop. Jenna Bishop. I like Jenna Bishop a lot. Yeah. Right. She got good good wrestling.
All right. Actually, here's another thing before we kick off. Predict the champions. Predict the champions of these weight classes, Gumby, before we even see any of the fights. Women's flyweight and men's heavyweight. Tell us the champions.
I mean, like, the odds on favorite for PFL's women's flyweight has got to be Talia Santos, right? Like, she had a really good fight with Valentina Shevchenko. And, like, you can't imagine that, like, you would have a really good fight with Valentina Shevchenko and you won't run through, like, Juliana Velazquez or, you know, Kana Watanabe or, you know, like, they're good fighters, but they're not the same level as Shevchenko, who she could have arguably beat. So I think you got to pick her as the odds-on favorite. Heavyweight's a weird one. I always kind of tend to think that heavyweight's going to wind up with, like, kind of a fluky finish. Let's say this. I'm going to save my heavyweight pick for when we're talking about the fighter who coming up I might.
Okay. So people aren't just going to click off right now. Good idea, Gumby.
Yeah, which they're already going to, because now we already gave away my pick for the Talia Santos fight.
Oh, well, whatever. You think she's going to be the short notice fighter in her PFL debut? That's
I do think she's going to do that. Yeah.
not that crazy of a guesstimate. All right, before we jump in, I think I should tell you about Cut, since we're almost up to the ad read. Anyhow, Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Peer-to-peer social betting is a new and better way to bet directly against your friends or others on sports, politics, pop culture, and other events with verifiable outcomes. And they have tons of fun social features that give it the feel of a betting social network. Cut offers lower vig and fully customizable odds. Create your own bets. Cut handles the payment side of things, so you never have to chase down your friends for money. That's the worst. Friends trying to get money out of your friends for fantasy sports. It's the worst. The social features, group chats, betting leaderboards, head-to-head history, user profiles, fan groups, and more. And the rewards are you get your cash back every single time you bet against your friends or other users. So check out, we even have SGPN custom bets on there by our various hosts and writers. So check that out by downloading Cut today in the App Store or over on their website, KUTT.com. That's KUTT.com. And use promo code SGPN for 10% deposit bonus. And of course, I would be remiss if I didn't tell you about Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. It's also the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Pretty simple. If you haven't been on there before, a good guide would be to read the daily Underdog Fantasy articles Gumby and I write at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. But basically, you pick athletes from any sport. There's basically every sport on there. You pick a stat category that's offered for them. You pick higher or lower on the stat, easy as that. And if you hit enough correct 100 times your money in a single night, you don't even have to wait a full season for that. Pretty easy stuff. So sign up today with promo code MMASGPN and get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick 'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store, and don't forget to register with our promo code, the show's promo code MMASGPN. Make us look good to the bosses to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick 'em special. You must be 18 or older and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Someone LOL'd on YouTube at my ad reads. I don't know what I did on that one. That was funny, but I'm sure I did something funny on that YouTube video. I feel like, okay, how did I screw up the ad reads? Or maybe
I thought the same thing. I just liked it instead. I just clicked the like button.
That's fine.
Which speaking of, if you're watching this right now, go ahead and hit subscribe so that you can like us as well. And we know you like us.
And thank you. You pushed us over 400 subscribers, everyone. So thank you for that. I think LFA helped us with that. So 500. Let's go for 500 now, everyone. If you haven't already, steal your coworkers, your housemates, steal their devices and have them subscribe to us. They won't even notice. It's free. All right. So yeah, a lot of names you probably know on the undercard that we're not going to cover: Jordan Heiderman, Marcelo Gomes, Lucas Brennan. Already told you about Jenna Bishop, Kana Watanabe, Shana Young. Pretty stacked. Blagoy Ivanov, you may remember him, Dakota Dicheva, all that stuff. But we're not going to cover any of that. That's how stacked the card is. Gumby wants to start with a prelim fight, or it's listed as a prelim fight as of now. It's the aforementioned Talia Santos, who I think Gumby's going to pick to win, fighting Ilara Joanne. So it's 3 5-minute rounds, 125 pounds, women's flyweight. Both of these ladies are from Brazil. Joanne, Arya Stark is the nickname. She does kind of look like that person from that show that I've never watched.
I've never seen it either. No, I just Googled. I know the name as a reference, but I don't even know how that person looks.
I Googled and it kind of looks like this Joanne character. I'm guessing her name's not really Joanne, right? Ilara Joanne is probably like De Silva Dos Santos or something.
Yeah, it's probably like a middle name or something.
Yeah, but yeah, exactly.
That's anyhow, how it works.
She's Joanne professionally at the very least. She's 11-8, 4 knockouts, 3 submissions. She's been knocked out twice, submitted twice. This is a short notice, a debut in the PFL, so look out for that. Short notice, at least in the UFC, short notice debuts don't go so hot more often than not. She went 3-4 in Bellator, so she didn't do super great there either. She lost 2 straight. Before that, she won 2 straight. Before that, she lost 2 straight. So I guess she's going on a 2-fight winning streak coming up. She lost her last fight via submission. She used to fight at Bantamweight. 2013 pro MMA debut, plus 440. Santos, 19-3, 10 knockouts, 3 submissions, never been finished in a fight. This is her debut as well. She went 4-3 in the UFC. She did lose her last 2 fights in the UFC. Before that, she went 4-2, and she did have a title shot in there, as Gumby mentioned earlier. She's not won a fight since November 2021, so she is on a bit of a skid here. 1-0 on Contender Series. She's fight a bantamweight as well, regional champion. 2013 pro debut for her, just like Joanne. She's got far more experience, though. Well, not far more, but more high level experience, I would say. 3 inches height, 4 inches reach over Joanne, so she's definitely got a size advantage. Minus 550. Based on resume, Santos is the pick, obviously, for me.
Yeah, minus 550 makes all the sense in the world. I actually hadn't seen a line when I threw this to you as like one of the ones I wanted to break down. I was kind of hoping it would be closer than this because she was on a losing streak. But, you know, like this line makes sense. And I will say this. She was originally supposed to fight Denise Kielholz. I actually think this fight is even easier for her because Kielholz is at least like a little bit faster on the feet, whereas Joanne is kind of like she's kind of like a one punch person on the feet. And in addition to that, like it almost seems like she wants to be taken down. Cause she's good at jiu-jitsu, but there's no way she's subbing Talia Santos off of her back. Right. Talia Santos for the most part got the better of Valentina Shevchenko on the ground. She had like the advantageous position. She took her back on those head and arm throws that for some reason women just keep doing. And it almost cost Shevchenko her title. But like Talia Santos is really good on the mat, and Joanne is just kind of the type of fighter who, if you shoot a takedown on her, she's gonna be like, okay, that's fine. I like it down here. And look for subs the whole time, and that's a recipe for disaster against Santos. It will be really interesting to me if Santos like pushes a pace to try to pick up a finish here, though, because like knowing the PFL structure, like maybe it winds up being important that she does. Like, you know, I don't know how that ultimately will work out, but like it'll be interesting to see if that's what she goes for.
Yep. All right. Santos is the resume and the official Gumby pick as well. All right. I think we're jumping right to the main card. Now we are, as of now, the main card, it's 4 fights. We're going to cover all 4 of them. We're starting with the heavyweight fight, Terrell Fortune versus Daniel James, U.S. versus U.S. at the heavyweight division. The American Predator is James' problematic nickname. 14-7-1 with 1 no contest, 10 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. This is his PFL debut. He went 2-1 with 1 no contest in Bellator. He's gone 4-0 with 1 no contest over his last 5. What else can they tell you? No, actually, he lost his last fight, so I think he must have gone 4-1-1 over his last 5. He has no contest against Terrell Fortune. Originally, he knocked out Fortune, and then James failed a drug test. So this is
an anabolic agent.
Anabolic agent. So it was a legit drug that he failed for. So this is a rematch. 2014 was James's pro debut. 4 inches height, 3 inches reach over Fortune, so he's going to be much bigger, plus 140. Fortune, 13-2, 8 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked out once. This is his debut as well in PFL. He went 13-2 with 2 no contests in Bellator. 2-0 with 1 no contest over his last 3. Won his last 5 via TKO. He's not lost since November 2021 officially. 9 years younger than James, minus 150. I think James, there's some value on him as a dog here. I don't know if Gumby agrees or not, since he's already beaten this man.
I don't. I'm going to go with Terrell Fortune here. And Terrell Fortune is my sneaky pick to win this season of the PFL.
Oh, okay.
I think, so first of all, that fight with James, you're right. It is hard to look at a guy at negative 150 and say, oh, okay, well, you lost to him. And then the only thing that seemingly has changed since then is that one person failed a drug test. And, you know, like, who's to say he's going to fail another one, or who's to say that that's not going to happen here? But the fact of the matter is that fight was one-way traffic. Terrell Fortune was beating the living hell out of Daniel James for most of that fight, took him down, took his back, was really close to finishing a rear naked choke when the first bell rang. And then he comes out in the second round, he's looking good again, and he just like overextended on the punch, just got like way too comfortable on the feet, should have shot another takedown. I think he knows he should have shot another takedown, and Daniel James caught him off balance and knocked him cold. And that's the thing about Daniel James, is he's like dangerous on the feet, but like what heavyweight isn't? He just winds up, drops bombs. I think Fortune, having sort of felt that and knowing what that's like, is you're going to see like a better wrestling version of him here. You're going to see a safer version of him here. And I think the chances that he finishes with like a rear naked choke or an arm triangle on the ground here against James are really high. Cause I don't rate Daniel James very high on the ground. He's sort of just like a slinging overhand rights and hooks on the feet kind of heavyweight, which, you know, like that there's a place for it in high level MMA for sure. I mean, Derek Lewis is still kicking around. So, there's a place for that, but like, I just think Fortune is really talented. I mean, if you look at the resume of the people he's fought, this guy has fought some really, really high level guys and beaten them, you know, like he beat Tim Johnson and he beat, was it Matt Mitrione? Beat like, and granted those aren't, you know, the same level of the guys who will be in the heavyweight division here, but it's not like this guy built up a 12-2 record fighting slouches. So yeah, I think he's going to take down James. I think you're going to see that submission game come into play. And I think he's probably going to get the first round finish.
And James is really, really old. That should be mentioned.
Yeah, he's
as
like
well.
41, 40, right?
42.
Yeah, he's 40, yeah.
1981, he was born. New Year's Eve, 1981. So there you go. Gumby says no value in the underdog, but there's always value in underdog at a heavyweight, but that's not his official pick. Terrell Fortune is the official pick. Why is this fight happening? Liz Carmouche versus Juliana Velasquez. Both of them being in the tournament is fine, but this is the third time they have fought now, three times in a row for Velasquez, three fights in a row for her. Why are they matching them up again?
So first of all, I think it's dumb to do it for a third time, especially when the same person won the first two, but it's definitely like in the flukiness of the way that Liz Carmouche won. Because if you remember correctly, in the first one, Velasquez was winning pretty handedly in the first one when Carmouche, I want to say it was like a crucifix she got her in, and she wasn't dropping big shots. And it was only for like a couple of seconds, if I'm remembering correct. And the ref stopped it, like came in and waved it off. And everybody was like, we're really calling it for that. Like, I mean, I guess she was in a bad spot, but like didn't look like she was taking like vicious damage or anything like that. So they stopped it. Everybody kind of thought it was early. So they ran it back. And in the second one, Carmouche looked a little bit better. Her grappling picked up a little bit. She got an armbar in the second one, I think. So it was like close again. So like we got like a couple of like weird close fights between these two, which I think is why they're doing it a third time. But
you really don't need to. It's not like it's luck of the draw. It's
I don't think so. Yeah. Why not put, you know, I'll be honest. I would have loved to see Liz Carmouche versus Talia Santos. And I hope we get it at some point in time in this tournament, because like that is a really good fight still. You know, that's one of the best women's flyweight fights you can make outside of the UFC right now is those two fighters. Like they're two of the very top. So I hope we get it later.
They don't have like seedings and or anything like this, right?
They're doing what they think is fun.
And then the second fight of the regular season, they don't even announce in advance, right?
No. Because usually they gotta see who comes out hurt. It's always weird too, because like sometimes it feels like they're matching winners up to see what happens, and sometimes it's like, oh, this guy won and we really would like them to beat the hell out of the worst person in the division to get him in the playoffs. So I wish they would just give us a schedule up front. That would be a lot more fun to predict,
make it like a real sport. But it's not like that obviously here. All right, I'll tell you about Carmouche and Velasquez right now. Velasquez 12-2, 4 knockouts, 2 submissions. She's been knocked out once, submitted once. Both of her losses are to Liz Carmouche. So she was 12-0 before she ran into the gorilla. This is her PFL debut. She went 7-2 in Bellator and was the champion until she ran into that aforementioned gorilla. 0-2 in her last two fights. They were the Carmouche fights. Finished in both of those. She's not fought since then, which was back December 2022. She's not won since July of 2021. She's fought at bantamweight, was regional champion as well as being Bellator champ. inch height, 2 inches reach over Carmouche, 2 years younger. You might think she would be a lot younger, but no, that's not the case here. Plus 205. Carmouche Gurrilla, 20-7, 9 knockouts, 5 submissions. She's been submitted twice. This is her debut as well. She went 7-0 in Bellator and is the reigning champion, if that's a thing anymore. Is there such a thing? Is she still a champion? What's going on here?
This is me shrugging my shoulders. For those of you who are listening and not watching on YouTube, I'm currently shrugging my shoulders.
he doesn't know, and also he doesn't care, is also what he's saying.
It's both of those things very, very equally.
Bellator only exists until the TV deals run out, right? And then Bellator will not exist.
But isn't it? This is not important. Let's move on to talking about fight. I fucking hate that.
All right. Almost got him talking about Bellator. Almost. All right. She's won 7 straight fights, Carmouche, 5 straight via finish. So a late career resurgence for her, for sure. She had not lost since the UFC days, which was back in August of 2019 was her last UFC fight. She went 5-5 in the UFC, fought Ronda Rousey, had her in a choke. Rousey bit her, apparently. I'm just hearing that now.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. If you have like a choke against someone's mouth, I think you're going to get some teeth in your arm regardless. So anyhow, she had Rousey on the ropes in that fight. That's the point. That was up at bantamweight. 2-0 in Invicta, 2-2 in Strikeforce. Strikeforce never die. 2010 pro MMA debut, minus 250. Obviously, Carmouche has got to be the pick here, right?
Yeah, you got to go Carmouche on this one for me. And the big reason for me is if you look at any of Juliana Velazquez's fights, even outside of the 2 losses to Carmouche, you know, the layoff is a piece that I'm worried about. But also, like, in those other fights, if she fights somebody with a little bit of takedown defense, because she comes from a judo background, if you're not familiar, if she fights anybody with a little bit of takedown defense or a little bit of extra strength, it like causes her a lot of problems. Like Denise Kielholz took her to a split decision, and I think Velazquez rightfully won. But like that shouldn't be the type of fighter who gives you trouble if you're going to go out and beat Liz Carmouche, because Carmouche is a lot stronger and a lot tougher and a lot better in the clinch than Kielholz is. And you could say similar things about like the Alima-Lay Mae McFarland fight is. She like was able to ultimately win a lot of those grappling positions, but like it was enough of a problem that you're like, oh, she's going to have issues with Liz Carmouche. So the fact that she's had 2 issues with Liz Carmouche, that she has been laid off for quite a while, and also has just had issues with people who are bigger and stronger than her in the past. You know, for all those reasons, you got to go Liz Carmouche here.
Yep. She's already proven that she has trouble with Liz Carmouche. So definitely, definitely, definitely. All right. Actually, before we get to the co-main event, let me tell you about Hall of Fame bets. Don't want to overlook that. You can win bigger by betting smarter this NBA season with Hall of Fame bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NBA and soccer bet with historical stats and data. You enter any parlay idea and the Hall of Fame bets revolutionary parlay optimizer tool. And you can get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame bets app or visit hofbets.com and use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame bets. All right, now let's get to our co-main event. Nothing but big boys going forward, but Gumby says that's a good thing because PFL has good big boys, kind of like the olden days of in where the UFC did not have the best heavyweights in the world necessarily.
Yeah. I still think UFC's got the best heavyweight.
Yeah. But no,
this is a lot better than the regional scene usually looks like. It's a better collection, I would say.
Yes, that is what I am hinting at. Definitely UFC's got best heavyweights. They got Stipe Miocic and John Jones going to fight each other. So come on, what's better than that?
Sure, sure.
All right, co-main event, 3 5-minute rounds, 265. Dennis Golstov from Russia versus Linton Vassal from the United Kingdom. The Swarm is Vassal's nickname. Did we know that? I don't remember ever saying that nickname.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I remember that.
I must have said it before then. He's 23-8 with 1 no contest, 10 knockouts, 8 submissions. He's been knocked out 4 times, submitted once. This is his PFL debut. He is a veteran, mostly in Bellator. He's 12-5. Went 12-5 in Bellator. He's won 5 straight fights, so he's another guy like Carmouche making a run near the end of his career. The last 2 wins have come via knockout or TKO. He's not fought in just over a year now. I think it was March 10th, 2023, I believe. He's not lost since March of 2019. So he is on a very nice run, 5 years. Multiple region championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. Used to fight down at light heavyweight. That's where I remember him mostly. But now that he's late in his career, he's moving on up. Jose Aldo. 2008 was his pro MMA debut. 3 inches of reach over Golstov, +142. Golstov, the Russian Bogatyr. We've talked about that before, right? It's some kind of monster.
Is it a monster? Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's a monster. It's like a boogeyman.
It is like a boogeyman. Let me see. No, it's like a knight. Sorry. It's a knight. It's not the boogeyman. I think there is. We do have quite a few boogeyman nicknames, but this guy's like a knight.
Okay.
Like a K-N-I-G.
Thank you.
You figured that out?
Yeah, I figured out what you meant.
This is the spelling episode. All right. Golstov, 32-8, 15 knockouts, 11 submissions. He's been knocked out 4 times, submitted 3 times, 10-3 in the PFL. He was a 2023 finalist. That means he lost his last fight. He got TKO'd in his last fight. Before that, he won 5 straight. It's 5-1 over his last 6. He, as well as Vessel, has multiple region championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get that shirt, sportsgamblingpodcast.com. He also has multiple world championships in Sambo, whatever they hand out for those, medals or trophies. He has a bunch of those in his mantle as well because he's won multiple world championships in Sambo. 2010 was his pro MMA debut. 7 years younger than Vassal, an inch taller, -163.
I'm going to go slight dog here. I'm going to go take Litton Vassal here. I think that's my first underdog in the card here. I'm going to take Vassal for a couple of reasons. Number one, Goltzloff, if you watch a lot of his takedowns, in terms of how he tries to get the fight to the mat, it's usually with like upper body locks and trips. And I think with Vessel being as good as he is in terms of wrestling, I think that's bad news for Goltzov. I think he's going to have a really tough time making that work or having any sustained success with that. Vessel also like did pretty good wrestling early against Ryan Bader when he fought him at heavyweight. And like that to me, it's a pretty good sign. Like if you're going to have a good time wrestling with him, you know, like somebody who's trying upper body trips, you might have an even easier time with. And in addition to that, I really think Vassal has come into his own in terms of a puncher at 265 pounds. When he was down at 205, you know, I think he was afraid to like let go all of the time and feel like he had the energy to throw big punches. And now at heavyweight, his energy looks great. He's actually a touch faster than most of the people he's looking at. Looking at fighting, and he drops bombs. Like his knockout power is incredible. So for me, he's coming off of a big knockout of, was it Moldovsky he just knocked out with he stunned him on the feet and finished him with elbows. He hit so freaking hard. And I think Goltzov probably is the guy who's going to throw more volume and is going to be in looking better on the feet most of the time. But I also just don't think he's got the same like one touch KO power as Vessel does. So combining both the wrestling along with the danger on the feet of Vessel. And I will also just say he's got like better finishing instincts when he's on the ground. He like pours it on you in effort to finish because he's not worried about his gas. So I like the dog money here on Litton Vessel.
He swarms you on the ground.
Yeah, you could say that.
You did. It was Moldovsky that he beat. So you're correct. And we're going to talk about Moldovsky in a minute. What if Golstov tries some head and arm throws? Would that be a better way to get it to the ground?
I believe he has to lose 140 pounds before he's allowed to do that.
And change gender too, probably. That's the women's way. All right. We teased you that we're going to talk about Valentina Moldovsky. We're going to talk about him now. He is in the main event at heavyweight. He, of course, is from Russia. You may have guessed that by the name. Ante Delija, he's fighting. He's from Croatia, I believe, correct?
Yeah. He's usually got Krokop in his corner, too.
Right. Yeah. All right. 3 5-minute rounds. Heavyweight. So it's not 5 5-minute rounds. So keep that in mind. Not that heavyweights generally don't need that much time anyhow. All right. Delija first. Walking Trouble. That's a great nickname, right?
Yeah, I like that.
I approve. 24-5, 10 knockouts, 7 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted twice, 8-2 in PFL. He's won 5 straight fights and 7 of 8. He's not lost since October of 2021. What happened? Did he get injured? That's why he couldn't continue last season.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure
He wasn't one of the drug test failures, but yeah.
I don't believe so.
2022, champion of PFL. 2021, finalist. So he's had a lot of success in the PFL. 2011 was his pro MMA debut. 4 inches height, 4 inches of reach over Modovsky's, and based on the last weigh-in, 17 pounds heavier. So he's going to be much bigger, pretty much a weight class bigger, plus 102. Modovsky, 12-3 with one no contest, one knockout, three submissions. Very rare, a heavyweight that does not have finishes on his record. He's been knocked out once, so he owes us some finishes, this man. This is his PFL debut. He went 7-2 with one no contest in Bellator, was the interim champ over there. Was never able to beat Ryan Bader for the big belt. 1-2 with one no contest over his last four. He did win his last fight. He, just like Golstov, has multiple world championships in Sambo. 2 years younger than Delija, minus 115. So pretty much a pick'em, but the newcomer is the favorite, slight favorite.
I'm going to go with Delija here too.
And I was thinking the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. For a couple of reasons. Number one, you mentioned, you know, Moldovsky's only been knocked out once. It was that Litton Vessel tagged him on the feet, followed up with elbows and finished him. But also, if you watch that Bader fight in the first round, he gets tagged by Bader too. And Bader wobbles him. And so like, I know he's first of all, his chin has been checked and seems to be holding up less and less lately. And in addition to that, part of the reason why he keeps getting hit like that is he overextends himself almost every single time he throws a punch. This dude loves a winging overhand right, or he loves, you know, like a big wide shot with his right hand. Like he's really into throwing those kinds of shots. And Delija is just crisper than that. Like he is just a little bit sharper in terms of putting that kind of stuff together. I like Delija's cardio a lot better in this fight too. If either of these two do try to wrestle, because like you mentioned, they're both combat sambo guys. If they do decide to turn this into a combat sambo grappling match, like I like Delia's cardio to hold up better than Moldovsky's here. And also I will just say, like, you know, Delija does really nice cage work. He did really nice cage work against Henan Ferreira in his last fight, took Henan Ferreira down. Was that his last fight? Two fights ago. That might've been when he won the 2022 championship.
Yeah.
But like he looked really good in the clinch against Henan Ferreira, which we now know is like not an easy thing to do. That guy is real tough. So like for him to look so good grappling there, I think that holds up against Moldovsky. I think there's a good chance he flatlines Moldovsky with like once, you know, he throws one of those big winging shots and just is out of place and Delija can tag him. So yeah, I like, we're going to close this out. Heavyweight dogs, dog, dog.
All right. Fantastic. Let's recap. Delija, Vassal. They're his two dog heavyweights. And then he's got Carmouche, Fortune, and Santos, right?
That's right.
All right. Thoughts. Now that we've seen our first card, thoughts on how they're folding in the Bellator fighters in here.
It seems like they're giving him, you know, with the exception of the Carmouche Velasquez fight, it seems like a lot of these fights are, oh, I guess the Fortune and James one is a pair of Bellator guys too.
Yeah.
I think when I looked at some of the other cards, it largely seemed like a Bellator guy versus a PFL guy in almost all of them with like,
That's what I want to see.
Yeah. With like the occasional import, like, you know, we're going to do lightweights next week. And there is Michael Dufort is coming in off of a Cage Titans win. He's basically just like taking Olivier Aubin-Mercier's spot in the tournament. Now that Olivier Aubin-Mercier is retired, he's the new Canadian guy.
Retired.
It seems like he's retired. He won $2 million fights.
Yeah,
and
true.
and he said he doesn't like fighting. So like,
that's a couple of good reasons. Then.
And then he gave his spot in the season that he wins $1 million to like one of his training partners and best friends. It went from the Canadian gangster to the Canadian badass, which is kind of hilarious.
Oh, really?
That's his nickname. It's the Canadian badass.
That's a bit of a downgrade, but no. I guess you got to grow into the gangster.
One
right?
of them's the Canadian gangster. I can't even remember which one's which now.
Aubin Mercier is gangster.
Okay, so then he's the Canadian badass. Yeah.
I thought I was. Huh.
Or the Canadian bad guy? Might have been Canadian bad guy. I can't remember.
What's the guy's name going to be? I forgot to look
it up. Michael Dufort. Although I'm probably... Yeah.
You told me all about him because
yeah, he's gonna be on maybe. Top Turtle he's, MMA next week.
But yes, the Canadian badass is true.
Yeah, nice, yes. Awesome.
Yeah, so I don't think I mess with him.
So anyway, they're doing a really good job of like pairing people who are not seemingly from the same organization together, with the exception of two weird rematches on this card. So I think they're doing a good job.
That's what I want to see. I want to see Bellator versus PFL, like the true super fights. I know they tried to do that with champ versus champ, and that kind of fell through. But yeah,
it was terrible. The season.
Yeah. Fighters probably care more during the season because they want to win $1 million. So yeah, do it during the season. Yeah. Anyhow, but we're kind of all in on PFL this year, right? I can't wait to see the punch speed stats show up on the bottom of the screen and
the smart cage.
Smart cage. Can't wait to see all that. So yeah, I guess, and with us adding more episodes. We're probably going to be all cover every PFL event this year, right?
Yeah, you're going to see a lot of us.
And until Gumby gets sick of it, or if there's too much Bellator going on. Remember, Bellator has entered the chat, so to speak, here. So PFL is a little bit got that little stank on it. So weird things are bound to happen. We'll see. Hopefully nothing happens. With these non-UFC events, stuff always falls out after we record, but hopefully the five fights we talked about are going to happen. If they don't, if they do or they don't, Discord's a place to be, because we'll be chatting about it. sportsgamingpodcast.com/Discord. Where else can you catch us? Twitter, if you choose, SGPN MMA. Gummy runs that very nicely for us. He's at Gummy Vreeland. I'm at Jeff Fox there and on Instagram. Get in my Substack, moneymma.substack.com. If you don't want to pay me, that's fine. I'll still love you, but you can get a free subscription, and at the very least, you can enter my pick'em contest that way, a weekly UFC pick'em contest, and you can win real prizes for free. So that's moneymma.substack.com. Gummy's got Top Turtle podcast that he just mentioned. He interviews a lot of interesting characters in the MMA sphere, so make sure you listen to him every week. Then you don't have to listen to me that way. And of course, our YouTube channel, make sure you subscribe, and if you choose to watch the videos, thank you everyone who is watching and commenting. Like, it's another thing, we seem to attract a nice crowd somehow, Gumby. I don't get it.
They're so nice.
No, Discord and YouTube, you would, yeah, especially, you know, people on the outside looking in would think, oh, MMA fans are probably like animals, you know, they paint Just Bleed on their chest, but no, it's nice people. And so thank you everyone who is already in our YouTube community. And of course, our mothership is sportsgamblingpodcast.com, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon, so we can crush corporate gambling, and sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. Get some cool swag. Get a hat like I'm wearing. Get some MMA gambling podcast gear. Be cool like us, because Gumby and I are the coolest guys around. We've already established that. So we shall be back tomorrow. And then after that, we'll be back the next day. And after that, we'll be back the next day. And after that, we'll be back the next day. And then we'll rest 2 days. And then we'll be back again. And so on and so on. So until then, Walking Trouble Jeff Fox bids you farewell, as does Gorilla Gumby Vreeland. Bye-bye.